Welcome inside episode 670 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in the Blue Mountains. And tonight, Daniel Alfredson takes his rightful place in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
And before that, the Ottawa Senators host the New York Islanders. The Sens are hoping to start a win streak.
Well, the Islanders have won 8 of their last 10. We'll have a full preview of that game. And as we do each and every Monday, we take a tour around the world of Sens prospects. This is the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.
Your Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators podcast.
I'm Tim Schützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators podcast.
Thank you for making Locked On Senators your first listen on this Monday, November 14th. The show is free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube, where the best way you can help the show grow is to subscribe to the Locked On Senators channel. Make sure you have the notifications turned on when we go live, like the postcast tonight following the Sens and Islanders. But today is a much bigger day than just a Sens game. We have Daniel Alfredson heading into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And today's question of the day, the comment to leave below on our YouTube page, is what is your all-time favorite Daniel Alfredson moment? I know there's some obvious ones, the goal that sent them to the Stanley Cup in 2007, but I want to know your number one, but also maybe one that's a little more low-key that not everyone would have as their number one or number two. Pilsy, what's it for you?
I mean, you mentioned it, but I got to take it, Ross, because that's the biggest goal of Daniel Alfredson's career. It's when he scores that goal against the Buffalo Sabres to bring this team to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time. I mean, I can clearly remember where I was sitting when that goal happened, and like I can bring myself back to that moment because it was such a big moment. The Ottawa Senators are finally going to the Stanley Cup Final, and who gets them there? It's the captain. It's the greatest Ottawa Senator of all time, Hall of Famer Daniel Alfredson. So I know that's the easy one, but it's got to be emphasized because it's not just something we can pass over here, because that arguably is the greatest goal in Ottawa Senators franchise history, not just Daniel Alfredson. So it's a massive moment.
It certainly is. And get this, Daniel Alfredson in his career scored 2 playoff overtime game winners. They both came against Buffalo. Of course, the one in 2007. The other one was in 1997 when he was 24 years old. So those came a decade apart. And wow, that brings me to my favorite Daniel Alfredson. This one's more of a statistic than a moment. I'll give you a moment afterwards. But the only player that I can remember, so until someone proves me otherwise, I'm going to roll with it as the only player in NHL history to lead his team in scoring as a rookie and in his final season. Like, that just doesn't happen. And certainly when you're coming in with an expansion team who's still trying to get their feet under him, never made the playoffs, I get it. But then to do it at age 41, he was still, you know, if it wasn't for his bad back, this guy could have played another 5-6 years. He was still contributing at a high level. So for me, that's kind of the overwhelming stat, is the consistency. When you look at Daniel Alfredson, the leadership, you know he brought it every single night. He basically played the game as a fourth line grinder. It just so happened that he had elite vision and elite shot and racked up points because of it. But he was always the first guy in on the forecheck, always finishing his checks, mixing it up, standing up for teammates. He was the type of guy that everyone else had to elevate their game because they weren't going to outwork Alfredson, but they could come as close as possible. And that's a sign of a great leader. And that was what Daniel Alfredson is to this team. And a lot of people remember the moment I'll take, and it got rowdy at the casino the first night, but the entire All-Star weekend in 2012 just felt like a culmination of everything Alfie had done with the city. It was a full-on celebration. The Sens were playing well, so I think they had 5 guys in the All-Star game. Yeah, that was even wild. Alexander, 35, Spezza, Carlson as well. So 4 of them, I believe, with Alfredson. And that was just super special. Like, Chara was the captain of the other All-Star team. they obviously had their history together with the Senators. Chara was an alternate captain under Alfie. Like, it was just an amazing moment, an amazing weekend. And if you need a refresher, there's some great YouTube clips from it online.
Yeah, the All-Star weekend was definitely huge. I was so thankful that Alfie was around for that, and Carl, and like you mentioned, a couple other great players. My next moment, Ross, is going to be Alfie scoring the very first ever NHL shootout goal. And again, just flair for the dramatic, it's up against the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Battle of Ontario, in the season opening game as well. And he scores on Ed Belfour. Like, crazy.
In Toronto is what I really like about that, because the fans hated them. And that, of course, there was a year in lieu between it, but that was on the heels of the 3 out of 4 playoff losses to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it was almost like a, hey, this is a new era. There's new rules. We got this. And Alfie was obviously, whenever the Sens needed a big goal, Alfredson was the guy to provide it.
Yeah, and Ross, I thought it was very interesting. Elliot Friedman is a big Alfie fan. He always talks about how much he respects him. And he said that at the start of the Cup final, when the Sens had that massive break, right? They're waiting for their opponent. He interviewed Alfie, and Alfie told him, if we, off the record, he made it very clear, don't report this, if we win the Cup this year, I'll probably retire. Imagine if that's how things shook out. The Ottawa Senators win the Cup in 07 and Alfie retires right there. He, like you mentioned, he went on to play 5 more great years and probably could have squeezed in another 2 years of really good point production after that. So obviously you hope the Sens get that Cup, but to get more years of Daniel Alfredson in the Sens jersey is definitely a benefit that we were all very fortunate to have.
Would I trade a Stanley Cup for 5 more years of Daniel Alfredson?
Probably not.
No, I think.
That's tough. I don't know, man.
No, you take the Cup. Come on.
Yeah, you take the Cup. Yeah.
And for those who are haters, thank you for watching. Daniel Alfredson is and will forever be a Hockey Hall of Famer, a 6-time All-Star, an Olympic gold medalist. And that's where I want to continue on, because it's great that he's going in with Daniel and Henrik Sedin. They all played on a line together at the Olympics, I believe, in Vancouver, if not in Sochi. You know that Daniel Alfredson went to every
It was probably the one in Italy, no?
In 06? I think in 06 he was still with like Matt Sundin. And they still had that old crew. I think the Sedins were on that team, but playing a minimal role, whereas Daniel Alfredson led that tournament in scoring for the Swedes. Like, that to me is incredible what he was able to accomplish. He wore an A for them. I believe it was Sundin captain, and then Lidström and Alfredson wearing the alternates. And I was a little surprised. Like, 3 Swedes going into this Hockey Hall of Fame class. Now there's only 7 total. So they're almost doubling their contributions in 1 year. That's pretty incredible. And like with Alfie, he played every single Olympics that the NHLers could go to, from Nagano to Sochi, all the way through. Like, he is a battle heart. He's got that silver medal from Sochi as well. They obviously couldn't get it done against Canada in the gold medal game. But this guy on the international stage, I think, is where he really separated himself versus other candidates for the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you're going to have the haters that go, oh, no cups, blah, blah, blah. This is the Hockey Hall of Fame. Like, Daniel Alfredson has done so much more outside of the realm of just the NHL. You mentioned the Olympic Games.
Over a point per game in the Olympics. 26 games, 27 points over 5 Olympics.
Yeah, and ask Frölunda what they think of Daniel Alfredson. I think you'd get a pretty good story there from his early days. So that's the thing. There's so many more things to consider. And when you have a guy that was selected in the 6th round of the NHL draft do what Daniel Alfredson does, I mean, that's just a blueprint for guys that are drafted later on in the NHL draft. Like, all you need to do is punch your ticket and have a team say, hey, we believe in you. We see the raw talent. We're going to work and develop you. And you can go anywhere from there. And Daniel Alfredson is the perfect example of that.
How much money do you think Alfie made in his career?
It's tough because we weren't really privy to a lot of contract knowledge before the lockout. I'm gonna say 65 mil.
You're getting so good at these.
I've had to do a lot of on-the-spot trivia, so I'm getting better.
$67 million. He'd be clearing 100 if he played, if he started when his career was in his prime. Like,
oh, my God, yeah.
And he always took less, and that's obviously what led to not his demise. I should definitely not say that, but the end in Ottawa was he just wanted one fair contract at the end. This guy in his prime was playing for like $4.8 million. That's what his salary, the years where the Sens top line, the pizza line, which we have to bring up, like Heatley doesn't score 50 goals without Daniel Alfredsson.
Nope.
And Alfie was making $4.6 million per season during those 2 years that Heatley put up 50 goals each. Like he was severely underpaid throughout his entire career. Had a couple of years where he was making 7 mil in 09 and all the way.
But, well worth it.
Yeah. No, 100%. And all he wanted was one fair contract. And he ends up signing for $5.5 million for 1 year. That's what they lost him over.
Yeah.
Really, really embarrassing stuff from an ownership perspective. And the blank check, all that, too little, too late. They disrespected the most important player in franchise history. But it really felt like we turned a chapter on that at the home opener. How special was that a couple weeks ago, Bills?
It was incredibly special. Like the emotions that were going through that arena, over 19,000 fans. And that's the thing. You got to give it to the Sens. They kept it under wraps. They kept it a secret and they laid it all out so perfectly. Like it was an epic moment. That is something I'll never forget.
Daniel Alfredsson is a hockey Hall of Famer. Stay tuned for the postcast after tonight's game, and we'll see how long we're going to take it. I know the Hockey Hall of Fame, it's not the most like high event back and forth thing, but we'll absolutely be tuned into that. But the Ottawa Senators play a 5:30 Eastern time game tonight. I got a message from Gil Martin from Locked On.
Yeah, me too.
I was, hey guys, is it a holiday tomorrow? Yeah.
I told him it's National Alfie Day starting now, so that's the explanation.
Yeah, that's awesome. So 5:30, let's get into a full preview. And then Pilsy, couple prospects doing work over the weekend, hey?
Oh, yeah, no kidding. And, hey, it's important to protect your investments. As we all know, the Scott Sabourin line, you got to protect those prospects. Well, you also got to protect your house. And the best way to do that, it's a simple way. It's SimpliSafe. Because over 4 million people have trusted SimpliSafe, so they got to be doing something right. At SimpliSafe, your safety is the only thing that matters. They protect you with cutting-edge security technology powered by 24/7 professional monitoring agents who always have your back. With this protection, their agents will call you the moment a threat is detected and dispatch police or first responders depending on what you need. And you got protection everywhere, every room, window, and door. They got HD security cameras. They got sensors so they can instantly detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home, so you're covered all the way through. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes, guys. It's easy at simplisafe.com/lockedonNHL. Save 20% on your SimpliSafe security system when you sign up for an interactive monitoring plan. Get your first month free. Visit simplisafe.com/lockedonNHL to learn more. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Listen to Locked On Senators on the day Daniel Alfredsson goes in to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I got one quick clip I want to play here from Jim Houston. And this is after another enormous Daniel Alfredsson moment. The goal to send game four against the Pittsburgh Penguins to overtime. It was their only win in that whole series. In that second round, that was the series where we got the infamous probably not after they won that game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. But Jim Houston summed it up so perfectly after Alfie tied the game up with I believe 20 seconds to go.
Ottawa needed a hero, and it as usual, it's their captain.
As usual, it's their captain. Every time that the Senators needed a big goal, Daniel Alfredson was there. Who's going to get the big goal tonight? Sens Islanders. The Islanders 8-2, but Pilsy, you think they're still frauds.
Yeah, this is an inflated record if you ask me, because I was going through their schedule and a lot of their wins are the opposite of the Ottawa Senators. They're winning games by one goal. And then, like, they're 8-2 in their last 10, Ross, which obviously is impressive, and I'm not about to kind of shame them for that. But then consider their two losses. They're shut out by the Arizona Coyotes 2-0, and then also shut out by the Detroit Red Wings 3-0. So I really think that this is a team that's had, I don't want to call it puck luck, because there's a lot of veterans on there and they know how to play the game right, but I think their record is better than their roster. Let's just say that.
Yeah, when you look at their roster, we're pulling it up right now if you're watching on YouTube as well, and I just see a lot of kind of over the hill, if not close to over the hill players. And after you told me their first line, I write that down. I look at it twice. I say, you sure this team is 8-2 in their last 10, 10-6 in the season? Zach Parise is on the top line. This guy came on, was it a PTO? If not a 1-year league minimum deal after being bought out by the Minnesota Wild, he's up on the top line with Matthew Barzal and Oliver Wahlstrom. On the second line, it's Brock Nelson with Anders Lee and Tino Beauvillier. Third line, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, Josh Bailey, and Kyle Palmieri. And this fourth line, they've got to have played over 500 games together as a line. Casey Cizikas, Matt Martin, and Cal Clutterbuck. On defense, Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock. We got Romanov and Noah Dobson and Sebastian Aho. No, not that one. And Scott Mayfield, unsure about goaltending. It's either Ilya Sorokin or Semyon Varlamov and Pilsy. When I see that record, I look at Sorokin's stats and I can understand why they have been able to win games.
Yeah, Ilya Sorokin, I know he kind of gets cast under the shadow of Shesterkin and Vasilevsky, but make no mistake, this guy's right there with them. He is an epic, epic goalie, and let's just hope it's Varlamov that we see tonight. Although Varlamov has kind of bounced back after a bad season last year. So either one of these goalies is a tough, tough test here.
9.32 save percentage for Ilya Sorokin this year. Super incredible for him. And when you look at it, 2.17 goals against, he was sixth in Vezina voting last season. He's played just over, I want to say this is third year. He only started 21 games in the first, but then obviously jumps all the way up to 52 in his second season in North America. He's just like Sorokin in the fact that he's well-seasoned at the pro level before coming over to North America. He was a star in the KHL for a number of years. So I've got my fingers crossed that it's Semyon Varlamov here as well, but I'm going to expect it to be Sorokin. Who's your lookout player out of the Islanders squad?
Ross, for me, this is an easy one. It's the most talented guy on this team, other than Sorokin, I guess you got to put him in there. But Matthew Barzal, in 16 games, has 16 points. Guess how many goals?
Ooh, two?
Zero.
No way.
No goals for Matthew Barzal this season. And he's still dishing the puck out. So I know the Sens, typically it's they get the first NHL career goal scored on them, but I got a bad feeling that Matthew Barzal is going to be hungry for his first goal, and this kind of thing always happens to the Sens. So even if he did have some goals and there wasn't that looming zero sitting there, Ross, I'd be looking out for Matt Barzal, though, because this guy is so talented, and it really seems that he does a lot of the heavy lifting for this team offensively, so watch out for him.
Yeah, well, I'm going to look to his right as my lookout player. But before I get to him, I just want to note that Jean-Gabriel Pageau only has one goal as well. I know he brings a lot else, but you're looking at your two highest paid centermen.
Yep.
And they've combined for one goal in 16 games. Like, that's a bit of a problem. And Pageau, by the way, has one goal and one assist against Ottawa in four games after all three bridges were named after him, as per Dean Brown, following his four-goal game against the New York Rangers. 4 goals. That's absolutely sick. But I got to go with a young kid, first-round pick. People thought he was a bust. But now at 22 years old, he's starting to come in to his own. It's Oliver Wahlstrom. He's just a shoot-first guy. I remember covering the 2018 draft with you and Parley, and we're like, this guy's got that it factor. He's got a big shot. He knows how to come in from the side. He was kind of drafted as a center. They move him over to the wing, and he's starting to get his feet wet. And I know that the stats aren't jumping out, 4 goals, 4 assists in 15 games, but he's a +7, and he's a guy that's when he's on the ice, I mean, a lot of offensive zone starts, over 75%. He starts in the offensive zone, but he's got a solid shot share, and he's the kind of guy where it's one strike offense, and there's not a whole lot of that on this Islanders team. So I think he's going to be an important player. I don't know if he's going to be impactful. I hope not, but yeah, he's going to be important. If they do have success, he's a guy who's going to be a big part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, but that's the thing, Ross, the guys we just named, they're the young up and coming guys. The rest of them, especially on the forward end, a lot of veterans there, a lot of older guys that this Islanders team is going to rely on to keep that kind of mojo going from the earlier days of their career.
Not a whole lot of veterans in this Senators lineup.
No.
It's a depleted lineup. Look at the injured players. We knew that Josh Norris was out. We knew Artem Zub was out, but adding Shabbat into that, he is out at least a week with a concussion after a hit from Travis Konechny. That, now that I've seen it a couple more times, Pilsy, it definitely should have been a penalty. He was tracking him in the numbers the whole way. I don't think a suspension or a fine was necessary, but certainly I do think it should have been a 2-minute boarding penalty there. But I digress. Let's get into the Senators' lines tonight against the New York Islanders. This is expected, of course. Shabbat wasn't at practice, but nor was Claude Giroux. And it was a well-deserved day off. 3 assists. And if we're following his wife's Instagram properly, I believe he stayed back in Philly and helped pack up his old house as she was posting that. But certainly after a 3-assist performance. Claude Giroux, by the way, 8-game point streak. How are you? 77 points. Looks like it's going to be a slam dunk for Claude Giroux this year. He's at right wing with Tim Stützle at center and Brady Tkachuk. The second line, Shane Pinto in between Alex DeBrincat and Drake Batherson. Derek Brassard on the third line in between Tyler Motte and Mathieu Joseph. And the fourth line grinders, Mark Kastelic, Parker Kelly, and Austin Watson. Pilsy, I'm too scared. Can you read that decor for me?
Oh, man. You had to pass it off to me here, eh? This is a tough decor for a Sens team that has a weak decor, and you take out their top two defenders coming into the season. Very difficult. So we're looking at Jake Sanderson with Travis Hamonic, Eric Brandstrom with Jacob Bernard Docker, Holden with Larson, and then we've got Forsberg and Talbot. I'm not sure who's going to start, but if it was my choice, I'd probably give Talbot the nod again here.
Yeah, after, I believe, 39 saves against Philadelphia. That's incredible. So I think that you should reward him as a guy who hasn't played a lot of hockey recently. Give him a few. Let him get going.
But, and he's got the suntan goggles right now, so keep him going, right?
Yes, yes. We'll touch on that after we get through our locked-on player. I'm assuming Jacob Larson's in the lineup. Like, at some point, you got to call a spade with 22, and I think they did by putting him on waivers. Was never sent down. Was practicing as an extra defenseman in yesterday's game, but 0-7-0 with him. And without him, they're 5-1-1 this year. Like, I know hockey's a team sport, but when you can boil down a number that simply, you can't put him in the lineup. Jacob Larson, a former first-round pick back in 2015, ironically replacing a player who's also a first-round pick in 2015 in Thomas Chabot, but he's had a bit of experience, but he's not really, you know, solidified himself as an NHLer. Had a solid start to the season in Belleville, but I'd be curious to see. I like that signing when it came across. The same day they signed Antoine Bibeau, they were able to get Larson locked down as well. But my locked-on player, Pilsy, it's Jake Sanderson. Yeah. You're 15 games into your career, kid. You're now the number one defenseman. Go get him.
I mean, that is just crazy. And the thing is, like, I don't think anyone wants this so soon for Sanderson, but I think he can handle it. Like, I'm not nervous about it. I think if you would have told me earlier, if within the first quarter of the season that Jake Sanderson would have to play top pair minutes, I'd be a little nervous, but I'm confident that in a short term, he can handle this.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing it, especially, and of course, Thomas Chabot, this team is better when he's in the lineup. I thought he really kind of had a bounce.
It was his best game of the season last game. Absolutely.
Really tough that he's out, but I am also curious to see what this power play unit's going to look like with a little more speed at the top of the umbrella.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting because Sanderson was – they had one unit where there was two defensemen. Was it Sanderson with Brännström? I think so, right? So that'll be interesting now shaking it up. Sanderson probably going to quarterback the one unit and Branny the other one. So these two guys have a big opportunity here, just like Branny did a little while back when Thomas Chabot got injured and he was playing top pair minutes, top power play time. You got to take advantage of these if you're Erik Brännström, especially on a one-year deal here. Oh.
Right, and we can always talk about, oh, Erik Brännström, he moves pucks, but at this point, we need point production from Erik Brännström. And
yep.
Even though he's moving the puck well and he looks good to the eye test and the analytics like him, he's still sitting at 2 points in 14 games, both assists. Never scored a goal in front of a crowd in the NHL. Both goals coming in the COVID season. And one of them was from center ice. But I think, yeah, now's the time, Branny. If you're going to do it, let's do it. Not the least of the Senators' issues was power play production during the losing streak, right? They were giving up goals every single night to the opponent. Five games straight, allowing a power play goal, and they went three games without one. That's long gone. They're 5 for their last 12 right now on the power play. So my key to victory is stay hot. And I know you got to get your locked on player, but if that power play can convert, you know that the Islanders are going to muck it up and try to play physical, low scoring, low event hockey at even strength. You got to take advantage when you have a power play. And I think the Sens need to have that as their MO tonight, is to put everything towards the net and just bang away. Because even though Sorokin's listed at 6'3", and I'm assuming he's in net, he plays really low. His stance is one of the lowest in the league. You have to be able to try to get in tight and get it upstairs over his shoulder. So that's what I'm going to be watching for at the man advantage.
Well, Ross, that segues perfectly to my locked on player, because who had 2 power play goals last game? Alex DeBrincat.
Meow.
Yeah, definitely. That's where I'm looking. Sanderson was my top one, but you took the low hanging fruit. So I'm going to the next guy, and it's Alex DeBrincat. Stop me if you've heard this before, but when he scores a power play goal, the floodgates are going to open. And hey, it's his first 2-goal performance for the Ottawa Senators. He was clicking on the power play. He was capitalizing on prime opportunities like we expect him to when he was brought over to the Senators. So I'm going to be locked on to him, hoping that he can keep the hot streak going here, especially on the man advantage. Like, that is going to be so crucial. Like, I've said it before, this is a team that's going to have to outscore their problems. I think now more than ever, with this D-core especially weakened, that forward core is going to have to really keep things moving, and they cannot afford to miss on key opportunities. So a guy like Alex DeBrincat, I'm going to be locked on to him to keep things rolling.
Yes, would love to see that. How about Brady Tkachuk as well? He had his third three-point game of the year against Philadelphia. Now he's up to 19 points. Yeah. That's insane. 19 points in 14 games for the captain, Brady Tkachuk, really establishing himself as the league's premier power forward. So going to be watching for that. Pills, did you get your key to victory?
No, but I'll hit it here. We mentioned that a lot of this, and you saw the lineups and we talked about it, the New York Islanders lineup, a lot of veterans. You look over at the Ottawa Senators, a lot of young kids. So what's the name of the game for me? Speed. I want this team to be blowing by guys on that New York Islanders team. Like, I want simple, nice plays, and just use that speed to your advantage, especially in transition. I thought one of the better parts of the Ottawa Senators game in that win against the Flyers was their transition game by the forwards in the neutral zone. They were finally picking it up with speed and getting into that zone, not hesitating at the line or doing too many drop passes or trying to complicate things. This is the only way you're going to beat these guys, I think, is to try to counter their experience and kind of structured play with speed and breaking out on kind of, you're going to have to take risks, I think, to beat this team, and take those risks and beat them with speed. That's my key to victory.
All right, we're going to find out tonight, 5:30 puck drop, and right after the game, join us on YouTube for the postcast as well. We're looking forward to that. And if you missed any of our great content from last week, those are free and available to you on demand on YouTube and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. All right, that to say, we would also appreciate on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review. It would go a long way for us if you just write a couple words, 5 stars. Thank you very much in advance. Pilsy, you talk about speed. We're going to have to do a lot of quick movements to get around the world of Sens prospects, because there were some unbelievable performances over the weekend. And one, we're a goalie-friendly show, but we're going to get to everyone. We don't just cherry-pick the good stats. We got to tell you what's going on and how I went on a scouting trip and came up empty. All that's coming up on today's edition. Stay tuned. You're listening to Locked On Senators. You are listening to Locked On Senators. I'm Ross Levitan alongside Brandon Piller. Today's show brought to you by Bet Online. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. Visit Bet Online. It's where the game starts. You can go there and get all your latest scores, podcasts, news. Everything you need is right in one easy spot. Bet Online. They've got the best odds, all the latest news, so you never miss a beat. And podcasts, just like all your favorite Locked On NHL podcast. It's where I go to make responsible wagers when I can. It's betonline.net, where the game starts. All right, Pilsy. So we talked about the game day for the Ottawa Senators. We talked about Daniel Alfredson. And by the way, great answers coming in at Sen Central. We asked for your Mount Rushmore of Ottawa Senators Daniel Alfredson moments. And the one that everyone brings up, 2002 in Toronto again. The irony, a lot of these highlights happening in Toronto, where Alfie dominated over the years. It's the fake stick toss right after the Matt Sundin gets fined because he actually threw a broken stick into the crowd. Alfie mocks him. And then in the playoffs in 2002, which is what I was really getting at here, the hit on Darcy Tucker. Tucker's laying on the ice. Alfie goes to the net, pass out front, bang. And there is a clip of Pat Quinn after the game with a young Elliot Freeman you brought up earlier, and they are beside themselves that wasn't a penalty. Like, Darcy Tucker didn't do that 55 times every single game. But that's what's old. Let's get to what's new. Pilsy, which Sens prospect impressed you the most this weekend?
Well, if you're handing it off to me first, I'm going with the obvious choice, Ross. And not very often do you get 5 points in one game. I'm talking about Zach Ostapchuk. In a 5-4 win, he gets a goal and 4 assists. This kid is lighting it up just like we thought he would. Again, and a perfect example of a kid that should be allowed to go to the AHL instead of having to choose between CHL and NHL, because he's got 18 points in 12 games. Like, you talk about the Vancouver Giants, this kid is a giant over in the dub when it comes to points. Like, 5 games in a five-goal performance. Incredible.
Yeah, super, super impressive. Carson Latimer had 5 points last week, but it all culminated on Friday with a goal and 2 assists. So our boy Lats lighting it up. Point-per-game guy.
Yep, that's impressive. Another WHL guy doing well there. So, but Ross, those are some positives. What's the negative you got here? I didn't hear about any negative goaltending stats. I'm assuming it's Levi Marilainen.
Yeah, it is, and it's this weekend, but it's his last game. And I don't know if they're just like, hey, buddy, that just can't happen. He allowed 2 goals on 3 shots in 6 minutes and was pulled in his last outing. So he hasn't even gotten back into the net since then. So, unfortunate, but hopefully he seems like the most hot or cold all time.
It's crazy. Like, he's got a handful of shutouts already this season, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's either letting in like no goals on 38 shots or 5 goals on 6. There's no in between. While we're talking goalies, though, we want to send our best wishes to Matt Sogard. He came back from a concussion. He gets back, and then he had to be helped off the ice. Looked like a leg injury. Really, really sucked to see in the first period about against that loss with Syracuse.
Yeah, the Belleville injuries, Ross, are just crazy. Like, I'll just read through them quickly here, as quick as I can read through all these ones. Sogard, day-to-day. Mando, day-to-day. One that, I don't know how this got past us, Ross, but Roby Järventi, week-to-week? Huh? What, like, I didn't hear anything about that. Victor Lodin, day-to-day. Jace Haraluk, week-to-week. Corey Conacher, they're unsure. Jonathan Aspero, week-to-week. Like, that poor Belleville squad, that's tough for Troy, man. But they persevere as they got a shootout win on the weekend, Ross. And I don't know if you saw the clips of the shootout goal, but that tendy for Rochester Americans might want to work on his low blocker. All three send shooters. I forget who the first one was, but it was...
Lucchini.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, man, how did I forget my guy? Lucchini, Sokolov, and Chartier all come in and blast one low blocker. The three consecutive goals. Like, you love to see it. So that's good on the boys for chatting on the bench, being like, hey, there's his weak spot. Go for it. So that was a big win for Belleville.
Yeah, it certainly was. And let's talk about a Belleville native, Pilsy. Nah, just kidding. Nothing to report on Ben Roger. But I will tell you that Jorian Donovan, moving to the OHL, is on a three-game point streak. He's got 4 points in his last three games. So good to see him kind of catching a bit of a stride here for him. We had Chandler Romeo got in a fight last game and had an assist the game before. So he's starting to shake and groove there. And then we missed out last week talking about Theo Wahlberg, who had a three-point game as a defenseman, including two goals in the USHL. So wanted to give a little stick tap there for Theo Wahlberg. I say this all knowing that Tyler Cleven got hurt on Friday. I go down to Nodak on Saturday. I've got the worst luck after last year with Jake Sanderson, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a long-term injury for the K-Train. Thank goodness, because that would be an awful loss. It was a cut above his Achilles is what we're calling it, a deep bone bruise. And I hope he's back soon later, but that could be one of those lingering type issues.
Well, thank God it wasn't a little lower on the Achilles, as Sens fans know very clearly the Carlson injury. Like, that can be a life-changing injury, unfortunately. So thank goodness it wasn't that bad. Sticking with defensemen, though, Ross, my guy, Thomas Hamara, scored his second goal of the season on Saturday. He started off real hot, but he's cooled down a bit. But he's got 6 points in 13 games with Kitchener. So still a pretty good season for the rookie defenseman over in the O.
Yeah, the last guy who I want to bring up today is Tyson Dick.
Okay, I got one more after this, but go ahead with Dick, yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, it was a tough weekend for him. He didn't do anything, but we didn't give him any love last year. And he's up to 5 points with UMass, and that's Hockey East, same level that Boucher played last year. Boucher, I think, had 3 points in his first 20 games. Well, yeah. Tyson Dick, I mean, for a seventh-round pick, for you to already have 5 points in 11 games, he's been promoted to the top six. Now, his team's lost five in a row, so how long is he going to stay up there? But I just thought that was pretty impressive for a recent draft pick.
Yeah, definitely, and also impressive for recent draft pick, guest of this show, Cam O'Neill, continues to light it up, Ross. Like, he got his third goal of the season for Tri-City, and he's second in the team in scoring with 9 points in 12 games. So that's pretty solid, especially when you consider that Tri-City is in last place. So they've been struggling, but Cam O'Neill has kept things going here. So shout out to Cam.
All right. And sometimes we miss out on the Belleville prospects because we kind of see them as their own thing. But how about Igor just completely switching up his play and bringing a B game? He hasn't been able to score much this year. Only one goal in 12 games. But now he's got 3 assists in his last 4 games. He's a disher.
Yeah, it's crazy that he's totally kind of statistically changed his style here. But thank goodness Igor isn't one of those guys on the injury list, because he is a key player for that Belleville team.
100%. All right, Pilsy, give me a prediction for tonight's Senators-Islanders game.
I think it's going to be close. Like I mentioned, a lot of the Islanders games have been one-goal games, or they've been getting shut out. So I'm going to go with a 4-3 Sens win in regulation.
Okay, that's a high scoring game considering it's the Islanders. I'm going to go 3-1 Ottawa with an empty netter.
Nice. Yep.
All right, we'll see back in the postcast afterwards. Thank you for making us your first listen each and every day. We appreciate it. And again, leave us a note in the comments, your favorite Daniel Alfredson moments. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan, and this has been the Locked On Senators podcast. Your team every day.